Welcome back to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC and on kpcc.org, on your smart speaker, on the KPCC app. I'm Kyle Stokes, in for Larry Mantle today. He's got the whole week off. Tomorrow, my fellow reporter Jackie Fortier will be in this chair making her Air Talk debut. Later in the week, we'll have Libby Dankman, Josie Huang, Stephen Cuevas will round out the week to give Larry a well-deserved week off. So coming up later this hour, we will be marking next week's 100th anniversary of women's suffrage with a conversation between Larry Mantle and UCLA professor Ellen Carroll Dubois. Her new book is Suffrage, Women's Long Battle for the Vote. But we will begin with What's for Lunch? Or for dinner. With dining rooms shut down these days, many of us are relying on delivery apps, Postmates, Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, Caviar, and more to the point, many restaurants are relying on these apps to keep their businesses afloat. But the fees that these apps charge for using their service can be steep. This has been a long-standing concern for restaurant owners, but now some say the crisis has left them with little choice but to pay the fees. After all, the delivery apps are basically their lifeline, right? Well, some eateries are going the other way, ditching the delivery services and their fees. With us is Gina Pollack, a writer for our companion site, LAist.com. She tweets at Gina Pollack. Welcome, Gina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you talked to a number of restaurants for this story, as well as the big four apps. For starters here, how steep are the fees that we're talking about?
So the fees range generally from about 15 to 30%. It's interesting because I kind of, when I started reporting the story, thought that I could just make a sort of bulleted list being like, you know, Postmates charges this much, Grubhub charges this much. But then I realized very quickly that it was a lot more complicated than that because a lot of the apps don't really have to be transparent with the public because they're private companies. It's kind of difficult to find those rates. And the only way to really do it is talking to restaurants themselves. But generally, I would say it's about 30%. If you're a restaurant that has a big name, sometimes you might be able to get a deal that's closer to 20. But that's pretty standard.
Yeah. And I mean, so that range of 15 to 30%, you know, that the lower end of that range, only if you're big, only if you're established, a name, maybe you have a big chain. Is that right?
That's right. I think, you know, that's a generalization because every restaurant has to negotiate their own contract, and all of the contracts are different, and the contracts are private, and they often include non-disclosure agreements. But I would say generally that's right. If you're going to get a 15% deal, you're probably a more reputable, well-known restaurant.
Yeah. You mentioned how you were surprised to say, like, well, I thought I could just make a bulleted list. It surprised me, too, reading this. I don't know why it should have. You know, the idea that restaurants would be negotiating essentially on an individual basis with these. I mean, is it that granular? It's like, you know, I'm a, you know, own a burger shop and you know, I'm, you know, so I'm, you know, negotiating with these, with each individual app to see what I'm going to pay.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, the apps all have representatives. And if you're a restaurant owner, you would be probably contacting all of them and they would give you an offer. One of the restaurant owners I talked to sent us one of those emails from Uber Eats. And they basically said, our standard delivery fee is about 30%, but we'll offer you 22%, possibly because it's a bigger name restaurant. And then, you know, it's a kind of a negotiation term between the restaurant owner and the app representative, and then they draw up a contract, and that's pretty binding.
So restaurant owners that might be listening to the sound of our voices right now, I want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open. We want to hear, have these delivery apps been a lifeline for you? Or do you think that they're eating into your profits, potentially undercutting the sustainability of your business, making it difficult to do business long term? Give us a call, 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. If you have questions for the writer of our story on LAist.com entitled Food Delivery Apps, Restaurants Can't Live With Them, Can't Live Without Them, give us a call as well, 866-893-5722, or tweet us at AirTalk, or you can tweet at me directly at KY Stokes. Now, Gina, one of the words that is used you know, that we kind of are using interchangeably here, like fee or commission, doesn't mean much to us as a consumer. But a spokesperson for Postmates kind of snapped back at you and basically said the word fee makes it sound like we're just tacking it on because we can. But to these companies, the word fee means something a little bit more.
Right. I think a lot of the delivery apps take issue with the word fee. They don't really like that word because it, you know, it doesn't sound great that they're taking a fee. The Postmates representative basically told me that the fee is the reason that they're allowed to stay in business. And to be fair, these apps are businesses. You know, they need to make money somehow. And they, a lot of them, you know, are providing a service for restaurants that really need it, because they don't have the ability to do delivery without the apps. But, you know, it's kind of a tough situation for a lot of restaurants.
Right. And what kind of deals, if any, were these apps offering after the crisis hit?
So the one that I feel like had the maybe most, you know, drastic response was DoorDash. They, for about 2 months, I believe, offered 15%, so half off generally the commission fee for restaurants, and $0 for signups. So that was good. But, you know, that actually ended in, I believe, April. So, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, did restaurant owners like that you were talking to, I mean, did that make a difference for them? I mean, or is that just sort of, was that sort of, do they view it as sort of a token, you know, we know it's tough for you, but not necessarily a gesture toward, we want to make sure your business is sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the restaurants I talked to didn't even know about that. They were like, oh, that was something they were doing. So I think sometimes the deals that the delivery apps were making during the pandemic were more user facing, because they were kind of using it as, you know, like a PR move to say, you know, we really value local restaurants. We realize this is a very hard time for them because they are closing down, and we want to support local restaurants and we care about local restaurants and we're doing this for them. But when you talk to the restaurants, they didn't really feel like it was a great enough response. They felt like they should be doing a lot more for them during this time when the restaurant industry is struggling so much.
Right. Gina Pollack is the author of the new LAist piece, Food Delivery Apps, Restaurants Can't Live With Them, Can't Live Without Them, about how some restaurants are actually ditching these apps, which others are using basically as a lifeline during the COVID-19 crisis. Restaurant owners would love to hear from you about these delivery apps. Are they a necessary way that your business has been continuing to sort of thrive during this time, or at least survive? Or do you see them as a burden and, you know, creaming off too much of whatever money that you might be making that might, you know, maybe undermining the sustainability of your business? With us as well is LAist food editor Elena Shatkin. Hi, Elena.
Hi there.
So the, you know, sort of to pull out for a second to the 50,000 foot level, the LA City Council has taken a stab at regulating these fees following the lead of some other big cities. I mean, how did they propose to do that?
So back on June 8th, the LA City Council unanimously approved a motion that temporarily capped third-party delivery app fees at 15%, and it limited marketing fees to 5%. And now this motion, by the way, I just want to point out, is only temporary, and it is set to expire 90 days after in-person dining is allowed to resume, this time hopefully for good.
Yeah.
So that was the city's response.
Right. I was going to say, when is the return to in-person dining? It still feels sort of like an abstract date in the very distant, foggy future at this point. So, you know, yes, temporary, but it also has a feeling of kind of like, when is temporary? What does temporary mean?
Nobody really knows. It's pretty murky about when that's going to happen. It looks like we're going to be in this situation for a while.
Are these fees enforceable or being enforced? You know, I've read in the story, for example, Elena, that there are some, you know, restaurants that have reported that they've still been charged at the higher rates.
Yeah, I think that was earlier on. Like I said, this motion went into effect early June. So I think those restaurants were complaining earlier on when the motion went into effect. It's unclear whether, you know, what the how well the apps are adhering to this. But, you know, even the city council, truly, when we ask them, and Gina can give you more details about this, they don't have a ton of methods for enforcement. Essentially, a restaurant, if it feels it's still being charged too much above what the motion allows these apps to charge, they can reach out to the app. The app's supposed to fix it. And then what happens if they don't? Well, right now, it's not really clear what the methodology is for enforcement.
Yeah, Gina, you want to weigh in there?
Yeah, so I asked a spokesperson for Councilmember Mitch O'Farrell, who is the one who drafted this motion, and he said that the restaurants, if they're being charged more, they basically have to report that to the app, and the app has 15 days to respond, and if they don't, then the restaurants can file a written report. And then he basically said, if the app then still doesn't make the changes, civil action might be taken, and that the city attorney's office is working on a plan for what that might look like. But, you know, it still seems a little bit vague. So I think it's a difficult thing for them to enforce. And, you know, they have a lot of other things going on right now and a lot of other concerns. So I'm not sure if this is their first priority.
Right.
And I also wanted to point out that 15% is definitely better than 30. It's definitely better than 20. But for a lot of restaurant owners I talk to, it's still not really low enough to make it worth it for them, because their profit margins are generally about 5 or 6%. That's the average. But one of the owner of Tito's Tacos in Culver City that I spoke to said that his profit margin is about 2 or 3%, because, you know, the tacos aren't that expensive. And so it's really just not worth it for him at all. He said he would lose money on every delivery, even with the city council's ordinance.
Yeah, that was so surprising to hear that Tito's was at such a small margin, and that they found delivery not a great option because, as you write in the story, of a restaurant with a cult following.
Right, I was kind of surprised about that as well, but it's just, I think from talking to a lot of these restaurant owners, you know, you think when you go out to eat and you see a really crowded restaurant, wow, they must be doing so well, they must be making so much money, and it's actually really tough for restaurants to make money. You know, they pay a lot in rent, especially in Los Angeles. They have so many expenses. And right now, when they don't have in-person dining and they're really relying on just takeout and delivery and maybe a little bit of outdoor dining, it's just not enough. And their profit margins are even smaller.
Right. Gina Pollack is the author of the piece Food Delivery Apps, Restaurants Can't Live With Them, Can't Live Without Them, on LAist.com right now. And one of the people quoted in that piece, a restaurant owner of Hummus Labs in Pasadena, is Joseph Bardaro. Thank you so much, Joseph, for joining in.
Yeah, of course.
So he, you know, what you said in the piece is that you are, you know, making, at one point, we're making most of your profit through the Grubhub app, but the app was taking a lot of it back. How did you sort of navigate and decide to move forward from that?
So I was given an alternative option that handled the delivery. It was an awesome service called Chow Now. I had heard about it through a friend of mine who used it, and he's like, listen, they charge only a monthly service fee. Check them out. They handle your delivery within a five-mile radius. See if it's something that can work for you. Now, the problem with me is I had just opened up April 1st, so marketing for me was really difficult trying to figure out how to get my name out there. So I tried my best and was able to try to push people to my website, and as I saw my Chow Now orders increase, I ultimately decided, you know what, I'm done with Grubhub. They're taking too much. And the thing is, like a lot of these restaurants that were utilizing these, it used to be pre-pandemic, maybe 20% of their orders were going through these online platforms, delivery services. And then when you see your 20% go to 50% because everyone's doing the deliveries, you all of a sudden see how much it hurts your bottom line.
Yeah. Well, and if all of your money is going through that, as you say in the piece, it's a different idea than, you know, maybe you get a couple extra orders because you're getting them ordered out. Just to ask about Chow Now, my understanding, I've used the Chow Now app for one of my favorite coffee shops. It has it, and they it's not an integrated platform. You get into Chow Now, as I understand it, and you can like search for your favorite restaurant a la, you know, Uber Eats or something. This is a platform that you have to market yourself and share yourself. Is that right?
They do currently have a marketplace.
Okay.
But their marketplace is very minimal compared to the Grubhubs and DoorDashes and Uber Eats. I mean, you have to imagine, like, those companies have been around and doing excessive marketing, and they could do that because they were collecting so much in commissions. ChowNow has done minimal marketing because they're not commission-based. And so they have a marketplace, and I think I've maybe see about 5% of my orders via the marketplace, but it's not as strong as all those other big-name delivery apps.
Right. Joseph Badaro owns Hummus Labs in Pasadena, was good enough to join us to give us a look into the crazy world of delivery apps and meal order apps. Thank you so much, Joseph, for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me on. I mean, I hope, you know, seeing a lot of these small business restaurants really struggle, and I hope we all can make it through this madness. And I appreciate you guys taking the time to feature a lot of these small business restaurants that really can use the help.
Yeah, good luck to you. And Gina, just to weigh in as well, you heard sort of Joseph looking at his bottom line and being like, most of my money's going through this app and they're creaming 30% off the top. What are other, you know, businesses that you're talking to doing to negotiate this sort of new reality where most of these orders are takeout?
So one of the things that was really interesting is that there are a bunch of alternative kind of apps. We were calling Grubhub, Postmates, Uber Eats, and DoorDash kind of the big four apps that you've probably heard of. But there actually are other ways to do delivery and takeout. I think kind of like Joseph mentioned, if you're a smaller restaurant, though, that people haven't really heard of, it can be a little harder and you kind of need the apps for people to find you. But if you're a restaurant that people know about and you already have a bit of a following, it might be easier for you to kind of use one of these other services. Joseph mentioned ChowNow. He told me actually that for him, he pays a set fee that's about $150 a month, mm-hmm. which is a really good deal, I think, compared to, you know, 20, 30% per order. And that's a great app that, you know, they're adding restaurants every day. And I think now people are becoming more familiar with it. But it's interesting that if I hadn't done this, I wouldn't really have known that they have a totally different commission structure.
Right. I'm sorry to jump in there, but all of that commission structure, as you say, would until you do this, you don't really know. But I think to a consumer, all of this is sort of hidden behind a wall. None of this is consumer facing. You can tip your delivery driver. I feel like as a consumer, I'm sitting here reading your story thinking, what can I do? It's not like I can go out and, you know, I know what restaurants I like. I could order through a different app if this is something I find concerning. But what should I do? I mean, what is the advice that you would give to a consumer trying to figure out how to support their restaurants that they enjoy to make sure that they see it through this crisis and get to the other side?
So from the research that I've done and the people that I've talked to who own restaurants, I think that the best way would be you find a restaurant that you want to order from, either delivery or pickup, and you go to that restaurant's website and you see maybe, you know, some restaurants now have an embedded kind of platform within their own website where you can place an order. A lot of them are using this company called Toast, which is super transparent about its prices and charges restaurants about like $50 to $100 per month to use their system. And they don't pay any other fees. It's not really an app that you would download. You wouldn't download Toast, but a lot of restaurants, if you go to their website, you'll see an ordering platform on the website.
Right. And there's a story at the end of your piece on LAS that sort of gave me hope about Sarah Valdez and their corner store in Culver City. Gina Pollack, who wrote the story for LAS.com on delivery fees, thank you so much for joining us. We are out of time. As well, my thanks to LAS food editor Elena Shatkin. Thanks to both of you. We're going to turn now to a pre-recorded interview that Larry Mantle did with UCLA professor Ellen Carroll Du Bois, her latest book about the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. It is about women's suffrage. We're airing it on the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. That conversation is coming your way right after a short break here on Air Talk.